Most of us are familiar with the story of the prodigal son, which is depicted atop this confessional over here in that beautiful stained glass window. It's the story, of course, of the troubled young man who departed his homeland and spent all his inheritance on a rather indulgent lifestyle, only to go back home when he burned through all his resources. And what did he find when he got home? He found the open arms of his father, who caught a glimpse of his boy and ran out to meet him with an embrace of love. It is a beautiful parable, but some say that it is a different parable than all the rest. In all the other parables that Jesus tells, there is a Jesus character. For example, Jesus is the Good Samaritan who rescued the man who was in the ditch. Jesus, for example, is the Good Shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep and goes in search for the one. Jesus, for example, is the old lady who searched for her coin until she found her treasure and would do nothing until she found it. But where in the story of the prodigal son is Jesus? Sure, we can certainly identify the father quite easily, but where is his son? What if the Jesus character in the prodigal son story is the prodigal son himself? What if Jesus is the ultimate prodigal son? Perhaps it can make sense to think of it this way, because our prodigal Jesus left his father's eternal mansion and went off into a foreign country, aka this world. Here on this soil, Jesus began to spend himself day in and day out. The word prodigal actually means spending resources freely and extravagantly or recklessly, giving or living a lavish life. Is this not Jesus, the divine prodigal visitor on this planet? After all, Jesus came from heaven on a mission here in order to dispense with infinite and reckless generosity the divine riches of God in power and wisdom and mercy and love. Jesus came to scatter the most costly seeds recklessly in the hopes that just one or two of those seeds might actually turn out. He spent himself, he emptied himself, he poured himself out until there was nothing left, except that there was always something left, because Jesus is God, and with God there is always more. There is no doubt about it. Jesus lived in the form of a man on this earth, a prodigal lifestyle, as the famous, listen to this beautiful story, this beautiful song by Corey Asbury. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. This is the love of Jesus. It is prodigal. It is reckless. It is extravagant. Jesus embarked upon that kind of a pilgrimage from heaven and came down to earth in this valley of tears in order to give and to give and to give to the extreme. So reckless is the divine love of Jesus that it even took him to the cross. Now that is prodigality. That is reckless love to the extreme. And that is Jesus. Today, we consider that we must be prodigal sons as well. In the washing of the feet that Jesus did on Holy Thursday, Jesus teaches us that there must be no limits to our service to one another. What I have done for you, he says, you must now do for one another. Tonight I have given you the example, he says. What does this mean for us? It means our life is service. Our life is gift. Or it is no life at all. It is the only way. In parish life, in family life, in any kind of real, authentic life, we experience a life devoted to service, abnegation of self, and service to others, devotion to others. On some days, we wish that everyone would just leave us alone, but there is always somebody who needs us. This is the reality of our life in Christ. My son needs help studying. My sister needs to talk. My spouse needs support. My daughter is drowning in debt. My friend is ill and in need of someone to help. My coworker needs a hand. My parishioner needs just 5 minutes of my time. You all need 5 minutes all the time, but that's great. There are rooms to be cleaned. There are lunches to be made. There are tables to be set. There are texts to write, phones to be answered. There are clients who need help. Ministries at church that need volunteers. We always need volunteers. Teams that need coaching. Our door is open and we wish that it would just be shut. Sometimes our service is demanding and difficult. Sometimes it just looks like coffee with a friend. Our life is meant to be spent washing feet. And it takes time. It takes energy. It takes profound and selfless gift of one's very soul. Don't we know it? It is sacrifice and it is real. And odd as it sounds, it is the only way to a meaningful, joyful life. The happy and blessed news for us Catholics, of course, is that Jesus doesn't just come and tell us to go out here and serve here today and there tomorrow. Our Jesus does not just bark orders out at us as though we were his slaves. In fact, today he tells us in the gospel, I do not call you servants, I call you friends. Here's the most wonderful news. Because of the Eucharist, which is Jesus, we never have to serve alone. We never have to do anything alone. Jesus is so incredibly prodigal, so incredibly extravagant that he empties out heaven on this altar and on altars like it around the world at every single Mass, every single day, in every corner of this planet. Tonight we celebrate the first Mass. At this altar, just as in the room of the Last Supper, Jesus pours himself out in the most wonderful act of kenosis. And he spreads a banquet here in which he gives to a fainting and dying humanity, which is us, his own divine life, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, all contained in the consecrated host. And because of this, the divine prodigal son, through the Eucharist, wants to live his prodigal life in and through us. This is the ultimate mandi, the ultimate mandate. That's what that word means. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood in the consecrated host, and together with Jesus to wash feet and save souls and to love one another recklessly without counting the cost. I've now spoken about the washing of the feet and the Eucharist. Now a word about the priesthood, which Jesus also gave us on Holy Thursday. It was on that Holy Thursday that Jesus gave the church, he gave the world, priests. Each year I have the joy on this night to reflect for a moment on what the priesthood means to me. Of course, it means everything to me, as it should to every Catholic. I tell people that I have an extraordinary devotion to the priesthood, not to this or that priest, mind you, but to the priesthood itself. Perhaps it is because I am the vocation director or because I am a priest, but I don't think so, although maybe it plays a part. I think I have a devotion to the priesthood because I am a faithful Catholic. There is a story of Pope St. John Paul II, who was walking in Rome one day, when his secretary pointed out a poor man begging on the stairs of some basilica. This priest, turns out it was a priest, he had a bottle of rum in his hand instead of a chalice, and he had dirty, dingy clothes on instead of vestments. He was a defrocked priest. The secretary to the Pope said, "That man over there, he was in my seminary class 40 years ago. Pope John Paul II went over to that man, knelt in front of him, kissed his hands, and he said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Will you hear my confession?" And that priest came back to the priesthood. That priest, no matter how imperfect a man, is an alter Christus, which is Latin for another Christ. And today on Holy Thursday, Jesus gave in a rather prodigal way those other Christs to us. For he knew he would soon be on his way home out of his mission back to the Father. The priest is called more than anyone to live a prodigal life, to spend himself without reserve, most of all for the salvation, which is the eternal fates of real people who are entrusted to him. The priest does not exist for himself. The priest does not baptize himself. He does not absolve his own sins, although I often wish I could. He does not give himself last rites. The priest exists for you and for me. His life he sacrifices daily on the altar with Jesus and for Jesus and in Jesus. The priest is not and cannot be another Joe. He is configured unto Christ by means of his ordination, that day when he laid down his life on the cathedral floor. People always need their priest because they always need Jesus, and rightly they look to the priest to find him. No matter where the priest goes, into classrooms and hospitals and jails and houses and meetings and airports, marriage problems, crises of various kinds, confessionals, into all these places goes the priest. And with his life, he says, here is God. Can you imagine a world without the priest? I know that I cannot imagine my life without priests who have taught me and still teach me my religion, who hear my confessions, who give me direction, friendship, and example. Those priests who so configured unto Christ in their poverty, obedience, and chastity have shown me the very face of the Father and at whose hands I will be delivered to heaven one day. I could name so many priests right now, and I can't imagine the church, let alone my life, what it would look like if even one of those priests said no to God's invitation to go to the seminary. One last thing I will say on that topic is that, young men, you are who are here now, I want you to pray hard about the priesthood. I have been the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis for 4 years now. I have, in those years, worked with over 50 candidates for seminary. I can tell you this, there are remarkable men studying for the priesthood these days, and there are many of them. But I will tell you, there should be many more. Jesus says, the harvest is abundant, the laborers are few. There are so many feet that need to be washed. So many souls that need to be saved in only a way that a priest can do. There are so many who feel a call but talk themselves out of it, or who never even explore it because they fear they could never do it, that it would be too weird to live as Jesus lived, to let Jesus live so prodigally, so generously through them, who fear a lack of support from their families, or who think only what they must give up. I always tell these people, these young men, if only you knew what you got back. Jesus tells us, this is a quote out of the Bible, amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. That is a promise by our prodigal God, and it's true. Take it from one who knows. If we are generous with Jesus, he will be even 1,000 times more generous to us. I will tell you that I have not once been bored since I've been a priest. It is not a boring life. It is an adventure that never slows down, one that involves putting in sacramental and storied ways more love into this world. There are so many people to love. There are so many people who have not been loved enough.
There are so many people to be loved by for the priest. They want to love Jesus, so they love the priest. And I thank you for that. On Holy Thursday, Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. In the upper room, Jesus gave in his prodigality, his generosity, his indulgent, reckless love. He gave us the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the command to live a whole new foot-washing kind of life, a life of profound charity. Christ gave everything, totally without reserve. And he gave us his life, and we must give him ours as well. Tonight, as I wash the feet of our confirmandi, 12 of them, it is a great time for us to consider in your own hearts the prodigal love that Jesus has for you. As I wash the feet of these 12 folks right here, maybe close your eyes and imagine Jesus, the God of the universe, washing your feet. Because he does it every day. But imagine him doing it literally. And pay attention to what happens in your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.